It is December 3rd. We have 11 games to talk about. The potential return of Mark Williams. It might be happening. I'm not certain. Let's see. But it might be happening. Paul Millsap also retired. Just thought I'd touch on his career. There's probably a lot of people playing fantasy that don't remember Paul Millsap and what he did and how good he was. So I thought we'd just spend a couple of minutes talking about him as well. This is the Tuesday pregame show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I am Adam King. You can find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. And you will find us as a group at FBI Basketball on Twitter. We are also on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. Please go and find us there. Download episodes, watch them, listen to them, like them, rate them, subscribe to everything. We really appreciate it. We are also part of the Old Man Squad. Go and follow them at Old Man Squad on Twitter or at Dan Bespris. And I think Dan is on Blue Sky at Old Man Squad as well. Someone had Dan Bespris. 11 games, a lot to cover heading into Tuesday night. The final, I believe it's the final night of in-season tournament round play or preliminary play. So there could be some good ones coming up, but I just thought we'd chat about Paul Millsap. So he retired. I woke up to a Shams alert that he had retired, hasn't played in the NBA for a few years, last played in the 2022 or 21-22 season. No one would really remember that. He barely played, but He was good when I just got into fantasy, and that's why I thought I'd just chat about him. So I started playing around 10, 11 years ago. So let's say, 2014-ish. I don't remember the exact time, but he was good. He was good back then. That's when he was playing for Atlanta, and Atlanta were good. They had Al Horford. They had Jeff Teague. Did they make the NBA finals? They got the number one seed. I know that in the East. I don't remember exactly. Anyway, Millsap, very good. He had, if we look at nine cat ranks, he had four top 20 seasons. And these were the days when most players or a lot of players played 70, 75 games a year. So he was rolling himself out there most nights. His best season statistically was the 2011-12 season when he played for Utah. He finished as the seventh ranked player that season. But I actually remember his best season as being the 2015-16 season when he was the 10th ranked player, mainly just because he did a bit of everything. His numbers that season were 17.1 points, so he was never an elite scorer. He never scored over 20 points per game, but regularly in the mid to high teens. So in that season, 17.1, but he also averaged 9 rebounds, 3.3 assists, 1.8 steals, 1.7 blocks, 0.9 threes, and shot 47% from the field and 76% from the line. So he was a guy who was... defensively, that's where a lot of his value came from. He had multiple seasons where he averaged at least one steal and one block. Had a few triple one seasons as well. Never elite from the free throw line, but didn't sort of drag you down too much. But he was a very good player, yeah. And I do remember him being a borderline first rounder in a couple of drafts and things like that that we did. So I just thought I'd talk about him and, about his career because, as I said, a lot of people probably don't remember who he was. All right, let's get into the games. First game tonight. And I will, I have got the player news up here just so I can see any updates, or let me open Twitter as well just in case. Nothing at this stage though. Next injury report isn't technically released for 23 minutes, so we'll see. First game of the night, Philadelphia at Charlotte. For Philly, still no Joel Embiid. We have no idea when he's coming back. Andre Drummond also out. So we are looking at Gershon Yabusele as our streaming target. 11 games. It's going to be tough tonight to stream, to be honest. But, yeah, there, you might have one or two spots. Yabusele should play good minutes. Jared McCain has been talked about a little bit lately. He has cooled off. I still think he is someone that should be rostered. Go and check that he hasn't been dropped. Kelly Oubre for points. But I don't really want Kelly Oubre. For the Hornets, though, much far more interesting on the Hornets side. Vasily Micic, who probably has been added in all leagues now. Just double-check that he's not available. He should start. He should play 30-plus minutes. Some assists, maybe a steal, a couple of threes. And maybe 12, 14 points is sort of what we're hoping for. So if you picked him up, fingers crossed he can get off to a good start and, build on what he did in that last game. Nick Richards is playing. He played in the last game. And as I said on the recap show, I think he fouled out. So I don't think there's any issues here in terms of Nick Richards' conditioning, and he's ready to go. The big question is, does Mark Williams play? So he is questionable. He's been out for about 23 years. Could be back tonight. If he is, Musa Diabate sadly would fall off the 12-team radar, I would assume. I have him, I think, in two leagues. I'll probably roll him out there tonight. Just if I have to make some decisions, maybe I don't. But... yeah, I don't know. For rebounds only, maybe they're cautious with Mark Williams because, well, he's had such a long injury absence and this was a foot thing. So not like Nick Richards, who had a rib injury. So there will be a ramp up. It will be slow going for Mark Williams, but I would go and make sure that he is rostered. Same goes for Nick Richards at the moment. We assume that Mark Williams is their preferred center option when all is healthy and fine with the world, but we don't know because we just haven't seen him for so long. So Diabate, maybe you hold him for one more game, maybe you don't. Okay, next game. Millsap hooked a Zubat's good run. Yeah, good old Millsap. Do we think they throw Nance right in? If you're referring to Pete Nance, because we were talking about Philly, I don't think so. I think KJ Martin had a 19-point game in the last one, maybe. So maybe they just go a little bit small. It's probably part of it might depend on whether Mark Williams plays, because if he plays, then they might have Richards and Williams, who are two traditional centers, and they need more traditional centers. But if Diabate plays, he is not a traditional center in the true sense of the word. He's not a big-bodied center. Good rebound, well, good offensive rebounder. So let's see what that lineup looks like. All right, let's go to the next game: Washington at Cleveland for the Wizards. Kyle Kuzma out probably for a couple of games. But I don't care. He's rosterable, but I don't. Yeah, whatever. So they will presumably, they are coming up against the Cavs, who run a two center sort of lineup. So I would assume Washington will follow suit and run with Valanciunas and Alex Saar. And last time we saw this, Saar did basically nothing because Valanciunas was just there, hoovering up all the rebounds and taking up space. So we might see another poor Alex Saar game. He is still someone that needs to be rostered, but this might not be a great matchup for him. Brogdon has been playing very well. Make sure he's rostered. Bilal Coulibaly has been talked about. What do we get from him, basically? And Aussie asks, do we get double-digit scoring again from Bilal tonight? I don't know. I mean, it hasn't been good. I feel like there's probably a run of some double-digit scoring coming up. I'm not sure it will happen against Cleveland, but I think it's coming. I think he'll end up being close to sort of 10 points a game. He'll be borderline double-digit scorer. If you don't need steals, though, I think you could make a case for moving on from him. Bob Carrington, Kyshawn George, we don't need to be rostering these guys. As long as the Wizards are relatively healthy for the Cavs. Ty Jerome is questionable with an illness. That would just mean more minutes for LeVert, probably. Although they haven't seemed to want to push LeVert beyond about 25 minutes. So if LeVert is available, he is a potential target. We don't want Okoro. George Niang, maybe against Washington, he can just get hot and hit, give you three or four threes if that's what you need. And maybe Sam Merrill as well slides in there, especially if Ty Jerome is out. Okay, Milwaukee and Detroit. Giannis is probable for this one. He's always probable. Taurean Prince also probable. And Middleton out. We don't need to talk about Middleton. Andre Jackson will start probably, but we aren't interested in him. As long as the Bucks are healthy, there really is no streaming value here other than Gary Trent, I guess. There's probably a more appealing person on your waiver wire. For the Pistons, Cade Cunningham is off the injury report, so that would indicate that last game was maybe a rest game that they just didn't let us know about till the last minute. Jalen Duren and Isaiah Stewart, let's see what the minutes split looks like there. Could be a tough one for Duren going up against Lopez, Giannis, a bit of size. So Asar Thompson, he's been pretty underwhelming. Again, I think he's sort of a stash if you can stash him, but it does look like it's going to be a pretty slow ramp up, and his ceiling, certainly not as high as his brother, this season anyway. So I don't think if you don't want to hold him, I think you're okay to move on. Oh, Matty G, look at Matty G watching along. What has he got to say? Bilal falling off. Yeah. Yeah, look, if Bilal is falling off and if he is dropped, he will certainly be an ad at some point. We don't know when that will be. As we get closer to the end of the season, it's more and more likely because Washington will get worse and worse. All right, Orlando and New York. For the Magic, no Gary Harris, no Paolo Banchero, but everyone else is healthy. We will just assume they're going to continue running with Goga at the center, Wendell at the four. Both should be rostered. KCP has been on a heater at the last three games, so fine, roll him out there. It's going to come back down to earth at some point, but while he's shooting the ball well, get him out there. Jonathan Isaac only played 8 minutes in that last game. He had some foul issues. He's still very borderline. If he can get to 22, he's probably worth a look. If he's playing 15, probably not. So, let's see what those minutes look like. If you do need some defensive stuff, maybe give him a look tonight. For the Knicks, no new injuries. Mitchell Robinson, Precious Achiuwa still both out. Achiuwa is close, but probably still another week away. So zero streaming value on Knicks other than McBride, I suppose. McBride, I haven't seen him on many waiver wires, so I'm assuming in competitive leagues he's probably rostered. And let's see if OG can get back on track offensively because he has been trash of late, which has really been a bummer for my field goal percentage. Going to be tough, though, against this Orlando team. They're a very good defensive team. So we will see what happens with OG tonight. Indiana head to Toronto for the Pacers. Andrew Nembhard is probable. They're just managing him as he returns from his injury. Shepherd and Neesmith still both out. With Nembhard back in, Quentin Jackson back on the bench and, as expected, did nothing in that last game. So If you were for some reason holding him, we can drop him. Nembhard is probably someone we want to be rostering, but he only played 15 minutes in that first game back, so he could very well be on another minutes limit here. So, yeah, I'm not sure you'd want to be activating him tonight if you do have him in your IR spot. TJ McConnell was good in the last game. 25. I mean, we'd love to see 25 minutes. I don't see him getting there most nights, but there's enough there if you just need assists and steals. And on the road, I guess we're going to get bum Tyrese Halliburton tonight, who can't shoot. Let's see. I really hope he can turn things around, but it hasn't been great. For the Raptors, Grady Dick is questionable. Tonight, Bruce Brown's still out with Kelly Olynyk and Emmanuel Quickley. If Grady Dick was dropped, I don't think he was. I haven't seen that in too many leagues or had too many questions about Grady Dick. But if he was, I would consider picking him up. His return just really cuts into sort of Davion Mitchell, takes a little bit away from Ochai Agbaji as well, although he was trending towards a drop. But, yeah, not much. I mean, the Raptors, they're playing relatively well. They seem to be cohesive. Quickly will come back at some point in the next couple of weeks. So, actually not a ton of streaming value there. Let's see. We've got lots of questions in here, which... yes, we do hope McCain starts ahead of Kelly Oubre. That would make sense, but it's Philadelphia. Considering dropping Conley for Brogdon, or is the... short term, maybe. Long term, no. I think Conley has fairly solid rest of season value, where I think Brogdon is, look, a hamstring injury away or a trade away. So Brogdon, maybe you get 2 weeks, maybe you get a month. I think his per game upside is probably higher than Conley, just because they seem to be playing in more minutes, and offensively he can do a little bit more. But I like Conley long-term. So long-term versus short-term, would I trade J-Dub for Kyrie? Ooh. Kyrie is probably the better player here. Just J-Dub has been good. Would I trade him? I don't know. I think I might hold J-Dub there. It's pretty close. If you could tell me that they're going to play the same amount of games, then I probably would. But, yeah, Kyrie's been relatively healthy, so there could be an injury coming up. He has been relatively healthy the last year or two. So, I don't know. I think I might keep J-Dub there. Trade Tyus Jones and Terry Rozier for Devin Vassell in a 9-cat head-to-head league. Well, Rosie is very close to a drop, so he is, I mean, he's part of the trade, but I don't know how much you have to, I think you could stream in someone for Terry Rozier. So if it's simply Tyus Jones for Devin Vassell, I'd take Devin Vassell. Tyus, I mean, he has a fairly safe floor. Vassell hasn't played more than 25 minutes yet, so we don't know how long that's going to take. So it could mean... you're taking a short-term hit in some of those other categories, but I do think that Vassell is pretty clearly the best player there. And in a 10-team league, Rozier is probably expendable. So I don't think that's terrible. Albert, yeah, does Halliburton finally have a good road? I hope he does. It's been a long time. JJ Styles is offering... he's offering Miles Bridges, considered buying low on Bane. Also thinking of offering Jalen Green, but not sure they would bite. So trying to get Bane, offering Bridges. I think they're probably pretty similar, to be honest. I think I've said Bane is unlikely to get to his... ceiling or where we had him at the start of the season. I think he's probably top 70. And Bridges, I don't know. I mean, Bridges hasn't been awesome, but he is still solid. I don't think that's buying low on Bane. I actually wouldn't. It wouldn't surprise me if Bridges finishes ahead of Bane this season. Jalen Green I might do. Jalen Green has been sort of playing above his head well in some games, and then he's trash. Yeah, I don't know if I'd do Miles Bridges, though. Is Vassella pickup over Conley? Yes. Oh, yeah, Matty G just answering. Yep, J-Dub. Someone get Halley a good mattress. Yeah, he should go and go mattress shopping with DeAndre Ayton. All right, and then we've got a ranking question, which I will get to, but I just want to keep moving through these games as well. So let's do a couple more games. So Utah facing the Thunder. For Utah, still no Jordan Clarkson. This is good. They're actually just resting him because his foot was pretty banged up. So that's good that they're just resting him and sitting him out. Still no Filipowski. Kessler's been really good, so he will look to keep that going against Isaiah Hartenstein. Could be a good matchup. Hartenstein, not a great defensive center. The Thunder as a team are good defensively, but, yeah, maybe we get another good Kessler game here. Sexton and George have been serviceable. They're pretty healthy, so there's really not a lot of streaming value here for Utah. And then likewise for the Thunder. They're still without Chet. Alex Caruso, we have no idea how long he is out. I'm not surprised he's been out for a long time, because if you go back and watch when he re-injured that hip, he knew straight away, like, this was not a injury that I'm going to try and play through. He knew he'd done something to it. So I'm not surprised at all. I am surprised they haven't given us some sort of an update as to what the injury is. At least I don't think they have. Hip strain. Yeah. So I don't know. Anyway, no Caruso. So Isaiah Joe, Aaron Wiggins, Kayson Wallace, Lou Dort, take your pick. If you need to stream someone in, if you need threes, have a look at Joe. If you need some defensive stuff, Wallace or Dort. Memphis up against Dallas. Memphis, Zach Edey is out, but he is close. So I would expect to see him this week, which will presumably send Brandon Clark back to the bench. Maybe not in the first game, but eventually it will. But they're healthy. We're looking for Desmond Bane to build off his 16-point performance in the last game. Jalen Wells, who I believe just won Rookie of the Month. Okay. He is not really someone we need at the moment. They're healthy, so he might get you double-digit points. That's about it. Marcus Smart, he's been putting up some numbers, but the minutes, 25 minutes a night. I don't know if you'd call him must roster, but probably should be rostered. And that's really it. Aldama's rostered everywhere. There will come a point where he is probably a drop, although given how good he's been this year, people might actually just give him a week, and by that time he might have turned things around, or they'll have a couple more injuries and he'll just walk his way back into value. For Dallas, Klay Thompson questionable to return with his foot. Derek Lively questionable as well. Kyrie Irving will play. That he was out with a shoulder thing, I think, in the last game, but let's just assume that was a bit of maintenance, rest, whatever we want to call it. So with Luka, Kyrie back, Quentin Grimes goes back to being nothing more than a streamer. He has been playing very well, so if you've got him, maybe he can have another good performance here. Spencer Dinwiddie likewise had been playing well, but the minutes just won't be there with both Luka and Kyrie, and Klay, if Klay plays, back in the lineup. If Klay is out, then both of them probably see a few extra minutes. And if Lively is out, we see more Daniel Gafford. Najee Marshall also out. Sorry, I didn't mention him because he has been playing minutes. So we might see some Maxi Kleber. Okay. San Antonio heading to Phoenix. We're getting towards the end of the games, I think. For the Spurs, Jeremy Sochan is probable to return. Not sure he starts. We'll see what they do here. we had this question on the post-game show, I think it was yesterday, about what happens when Sochan returns and where does Vassell fit in. Ideally, I think it would be their starting lineup is going to be Chris Paul, Devin Vassell, Harrison Barnes, Jeremy Sochan, Victor Wembanyama. We did think maybe they would play Steph Castle in there, but that would mean moving off Harrison Barnes. I just don't think they're going to do that, despite the fact he doesn't do a lot out there. He's a veteran. They need veterans out there. So if Sochan plays tonight, it was a thumb injury, so he may hit minutes in the high 20s straight away. I'm not sure. Devin Vassell, as I said, still yet to hit 25. But with them starting to get healthier, Steph Castle is very borderline, as is Julian Champagne. For Phoenix, Bradley Beal will play, so that makes Grayson Allen a streamer. Against the Spurs, though, that maybe there is some value there. Likewise for Royce O'Neal. Yusuf Nurkic is out for a week-ish, so Plumlee is the guy we want to be adding there. And I'm actually just going to his live roster updates. I'm just having a look if I put in a bid for Plumlee last night, and I got him. Very good. I think I put in a $3 bid in industry pickup. So I am going to have a look at my roster. I've got a lot of active players there and maybe slide Plumlee in there. Okay, on to the next game. Golden State at Denver. For the Warriors, I added Podziemski in a 16-team league last night or night before. Yeah, last night. Got him for a dollar. Hopefully he can build off a couple of good performances here. Draymond Green out. We would assume Jonathan Kuminga slides into the starting lineup and that we see a little bit more Trayce Jackson-Davis and Kevon Looney. So they're the three beneficiaries. Podziemski has, I think he started the last two, so and he's played okay. So maybe this is a nice little period for him. Buddy Hield is very borderline, probably still worth rostering, but could also be viewed as a streamer. For the Nuggets, Aaron Gordon probable. He's still just working his way back from his calf. It was a calf, wasn't it? Yeah, it was a calf. Peyton Watson also probable. But when they're healthy, there isn't a lot here. With Gordon back, Watson is probably going to be a drop, if not now, in the next game or two. Westbrook is fine if you want to just hope that you catch him on a good night and he gets you some assists, rebounds, steals, and doesn't totally destroy your percentages. And are we up to the last one? Second last game of the night. The Houston Rockets, the second seed Houston Rockets up against the Sacramento Kings. Pretty clean bill of health for the Rockets, which is great from reality, not as good from fantasy. It means Amen Thompson and Tarius, and they're both must roster players, but as we've seen, if they're not playing super well, they'll just limit them to 20 minutes or 22 minutes. So they do need to sort of hit the floor running to be able to play 30 or in the vicinity of 30 minutes. Dylan Brooks, I think he is rostered in a lot of leagues. I don't think he has to be, but he's been okay. And Jabari Smith, after that really poor stretch, has sort of rounded into some form, probably should be rostered as well. For the Kings, they are without Trey Lyles. Kevin Huerter questionable. Malik Monk started. I didn't think they'd start him, but they did in the last game. I think Monk should be rostered. Basically, the whole starting lineup should be rostered. Even Keegan Murray, who has been bad, I think he's still a hold at the moment. Although, I don't know, if he doesn't get going in the next week, I think he might trend towards being a drop. Keon Ellis and Kevin Huerter, no need to be holding them with a healthy roster. And then we are on to the last game, Portland and the Clippers. For Portland, no Klingon, no Robert Williams. So we get a lot of DeAndre Ayton with Jeremy Grant healthy, well, as healthy as Jeremy Grant gets, it means Denny moves back to the bench. But Denny Avdia was good in that last game, so I would be holding him now, for now. Let's see what happens. Scoot Henderson, questionable. He's borderline as well on a night like this. Tamani Kamara, yeah. I've said until he makes me drop him, I'm not going to drop him, so I'm just holding him. For the Clippers, as we know, no Kawhi Leonard. Kevin Porter also out. Norm Powell, not on the injury report. That's a good sign. We will assume that he just plays. Chris Dunn is a steals streamer, or even defensive. I think he had 4 steals and 2 blocks in the last game. So defensive stuff. Derek Jones, to a lesser extent, a defensive streamer. No interest in Terrence Mann or Amir Coffey here. All right, now we have got a couple more questions. All right, could we rank these players? 9-cat, no playoffs. All right. Rozier, Brogdon, Castle, Smart, Bogdan, LeVert. If we're looking right now, so value today, I think I'd have Brogdon first. Then I would probably go Smart or Bogdan. I don't know. They're all pretty close. Like, none of them are top 100 players, really. So I don't think that there's a clear sort of I need this guy. As I said, Brogdon would be first for me. I think Castle is probably going to just start to scale back a bit with Vassell getting healthy. Smart seems to be capped at about 25 minutes. Bogdan is still working his way back. Hasn't looked great. I don't think he's a drop yet. So LeVert is not must roster. I don't think Castle is must roster. So let's put them two last. Then I would probably have Rozier is very borderline. So maybe it's Rozier and then Smart, Bogdan and Brogdon first. Picking two of these, Conley, Missy, Kuzma, Tobias Harris, kind of disappointed with Tobias and Kuzma and think Conley, Missy might have better rest of season. Yeah, okay. So if we're looking at rest of season, Missy's interesting because I do think once they get Ingram back and once they get Zion back, although we just got word, I think, I don't know, before I came on the show, that just checking there's no more updates, that Zion is still weeks away. So there's no sign of him coming back, which is that's rough if you're a Pelicans fan, but it's also not overly surprising. Sorry, we've just got some injury updates. Anthony Davis, yes, Rozier is playing. Reeves, questionable, but nothing for tonight. So, yeah, I think Misi is probably the obvious one there that could fall off because they if they get healthy. But for now, he's playing big minutes. He played 35 in that last game. Again, they're all pretty close. I think in terms of per-minute production, it's probably, I don't know, Missy is the one that stands out to me there because he's very different. He's rebounds and blocks. The other, well, Kuzma and Harris are theoretically sort of points, a bit of defense, some rebounds, a bit of everything. And Conley is assists and steals with some threes. I think Conley is probably the safest. Kuzma has been pretty bad. He's missing games. I don't think he wants to be in Washington. Tobias Harris just doesn't look, he looks a bit washed, as Josh would say. So I still think that if you're looking at sort of pure, okay, this is their upside, I think Tobias can probably still be top 80. Kuzma, I don't know. I'd have Harris above Kuzma, I think. And then Misi, I don't know, top 120, and Conley probably top 100. So, yeah, I still think Tobias has the best, highest upside. Let's put it that way. Are there any games being played in week 8? So week 8 is weird. Week 8 is the in-season tournament. So there's still some games not known because we don't know what the matchups are. So, yes, there are games being played, but it is less. There is, I think we've got, after this week, we've got 2 weeks where some teams only have one or maybe two games in the week. So, and that was the whole thing with the Yahoo. For some reason, they connected or they joined together this week and next week, giving some teams 6 games, where rather than joining the next 2 weeks, which would have given all teams 4-3 games, which so it would have looked more like a standard kind of week. So it was, I'm not sure why that happened. How long are ramp-up periods for players returning from major foot injuries? How long would it take them to regress back to their expected value? I think it depends on the player. It's different for everyone. And it depends on the injury as well. So hamstrings, calves, they tend to take a little bit longer because, well, I mean, I'm not a doctor, obviously, but it does seem to me that they tend to rush players back or get them back as soon as they can. If a guy comes back, and again, this is completely based on having watched sport here in Australia, with hamstrings and things like that. In the NBA, it's very common for a player to come back from a soft tissue injury. They stay on the injury report for games. They're questionable. They sit out back-to-backs. And I get the whole back-to-back thing. And here we don't really have any sports that have 2 games in 2 nights or anything like that. But ideally, you would want a guy to come back from a hamstring injury 100%. And there's no reason that they would be on the injury report for the next game, but it happens a lot in the NBA and they might miss games or aggravate. So those ones I think tend to take a little bit longer. Ankle sprains, not as long. Ankle sprain might only be 2 games. Knees are a little bit trickier. And if it's a significant knee injury, it's usually a mental thing as well. And that's based on my experience of having done ankles and done knees and things like that. An ankle is relatively easy to come back from, a knee not so much. So it does vary, but it's usually, I would say, minimum of sort of 2 games, 2 to 3 games, and then it can be up to a couple of weeks depending on the actual injury itself. And that'll do for today's show. That was all 11 games. Let me just check. Okay, so we've got the Boston injury report, but this is for tomorrow. Tatum, Holiday, questionable. Hauser off the injury report, Horford off, and Porzingis off. So they are going to get all of their center depth back tomorrow. Hang on, have we got 2 more? Sexton versus Vassell tonight in a points league. Let me look at who they play again. So Spurs play Phoenix and Utah play OKC. It's probably, I mean, Sexton's probably going to play more minutes, closer to 30. Vassell, I mean, they might try to push him up to 25 tonight. In perfect world, I'd prefer Vassell, I think, but maybe Sexton, just while Vassell is still working back from his injury. It's pretty close. I think whoever you go with, it's likely that it'll be the other one that has the better game. So if that it doesn't really help. But that'll do. That'll do for today's show. I will be back with a post-game show tonight, so however many hours that is, 7 or something. I will be back. Thank you, everyone, for watching. I am Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep pregame show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.